Life begins at the cross. Jesus died, my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. There's no other name given among men under heaven, right? Whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. And every knee will bow to him. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we bow now. We bow today. And we declare he is Lord. And as we confess the Lord publicly and before people, he confesses us before the Father. Hallelujah. 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 And nobody can really do that except by the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power, dunamis, dynamic working power. Acts 1:8, after what? The Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. What we are called to do requires the power of God's Spirit, because without him we can do nothing. Amen. So that's why we praise him. That's why we worship and open our hearts and receive him, because we need him. Because without him, we can do nothing. And without him, we're lost. There is no life outside of the Word of God. Death is outside of the Word of God. Life is in the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. So when we try to live outside of the Word of God, there's only death. So he invites us to come to him who is the living Word, that we may know life and the abundance of life, meaning a superior quality and quantity of life. Amen. Oh, I remember in the world saying, oh, well, we're really living it up. And the next morning I'm saying, why did I do that? But now there's no regret. Amen. We can get high on Jesus and he will fill and really the deepest longing of our hearts. Guys, the reason why everybody is doing all this crazy stuff and there's so much brokenness in our world is because people are trying to fill a void that only God can fill. And they're looking for love in all the wrong places, as I once did. Amen. Until I came to him who is love and discovered Jesus. He came looking for us. Did he come for you? Amen. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come for the righteous, but for those who knew they were lost. Amen. Because the Bible's very clear, there are none righteous. Not one. Except one. Jesus is the righteous one. And only in his righteousness are we righteous. Only in Christ is there righteousness. And when your heart is changed, then your life will reflect that change. So we need to open our hearts and let him in and be a welcoming, amen, host. Because we are the house of God. We have to be a welcoming host and invite him and give him the chief seat in the home. Amen. Hallelujah. All righty. Can we just stand just for a moment here, lift our hands to the Lord once more and give him thanks for the day he's given us, for the life and for his presence here and for how he's already just been pouring his Holy Spirit on us, his grace lavished on us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you anoint our heads with oil and our cup runs over. Lord, we want to run over for you. Lord, we want to, Lord, just be saturated with your holy presence, Lord, that we might be an expression of your heart in this world, Lord. We know without you, again, we can do nothing. Draw each one of us closer to you today, Lord. Change us, Lord. Make us more like you. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I want to give thanks to God. For the last several weeks, we've had some healings. God has healed several folks here. and they were very notable. We know God did it. We give him thanks. We give him praise for that. if the Lord wills, we're going to have a time afterwards if you would like to be prayed for and prayed with and believe God. For Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. He's still the same. He's with us. And God, we just thank you for everything that you're doing here, Lord, and that you're doing in us. Most importantly, Lord, that you're changing us and making us more like you. Lord, we want to be transformed today. So we ask you to do a work in every heart, every life here in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we have in Christ freedom. We've got liberty. We've been set free from the power of sin, the power of Satan. Through the new birth, we've been brought into new life. We have been given the authorization to call on the name of our Lord Jesus as our elder brother, amen, who is at the right hand of the Father, our intercessor. As we call on his name, amen, he calls to the Father. So we come to the Father through the Son, and we call on his name, and whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered. And so, God, we just thank you today for you've given us access to your throne of grace, Lord, because of what you did and not because of what we've done. You deserve the glory, Lord. But thank you, Lord, that you hear us, Lord. You know the cry of my heart today, Lord, is to hear your voice and to obey you in everything. So direct us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, you know the Holy Spirit is the best teacher. God is calling us as his people to be holy, to be separate, undefiled from this world. And he's calling us, if you will, we've been talking about coming out of Egypt. When God called Israel out of Egypt, he called them out completely. They were to have no ties to Egypt. They were delivered out by the blood of the Lamb. God did it. He drew them out. And he brought them into a place they'd never been before because he was going to condition them and prepare them for what he had up ahead. And so also this world is likened to a Babylon, which was a real place, a geographic place. Amen. And in fact, it's in the area where Iraq today. But as you remember, during the Gulf War, he kept talking about rebuilding Babylon, Saddam Hussein. But even though Babylon was a real geographic location. It also represents the evil world system that is in opposition to the reign of God or the spirit of Antichrist. And so God wants his people to be completely untethered from the world and completely come out of the old way, the old life. And only God can change our hearts. And so if he changes your heart, amen, you'll begin to think differently. You'll begin to speak differently. You'll have different desires. And you'll have what we call a new normal. What used to be abnormal has now become normal to you. Amen. What was normal before is now abnormal to you because you are a new creation. Not a patch-up job, but a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. But we have to work out our salvation here with fear and trembling. There is a process that God takes his people through to prepare us, to purify us, amen, for what is up ahead, for his promise. And so as a bride would prepare herself for her wedding day, so you and I, as the bride of Christ, are in preparation for the coming of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, amen. And that's why Jesus said, be holy, amen, as I am holy. And we can only be holy in him who is holy. You can change some things externally, but one thing you can't do is change your heart. Amen. Some people are good at putting on a facade. The Pharisees were likened to whitewashed tombs, right? Outwardly, they appeared clean, but inside, he said, you're full of dead men's bones. And so we don't want to be like a Pharisee. Amen. We want to be pure inside and outside. Amen. And only God can do that work. But it requires us humbling ourselves and submitting ourselves to God to allow that process to take place. Why? Because God will not barge your door down. He will not kick the door down and force anything on you, but He invites you to come to Him and to open your life, open your door, amen, to Him, that He may come in and have fellowship with you. And He wants to do work in His people, in His church. But there has to be cooperation. We work together in this process. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So in Ephesians 5:11, it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Guys, this is huge today. There is so much compromise, even in the church today. And God is calling His people out of Babylon, out of this evil world system, to disconnect from anything, to cut off any ties to the old way of life. Amen. The enemy wants to keep you close. You see, Pharaoh was willing to allow Israel to go a short distance out of Egypt, but not completely, 3 days away. And sometimes, you know, the enemy just wants to do that with us, doesn't he? He just wants us to come into some kind of bargain or agreement with him. You know, some type of cooperation with him, a little even sympathy for him in some areas. In the areas where you're sympathetic towards sin, these are the areas where the enemy can camp out. And so he just wants an agreement with you. He just wants you to make a little compromise. How many know a little compromise turns to a big compromise? And so we are to possess our vessel, which is the temple of God, the Holy Spirit, in sanctification and honor, to be set apart for him. Amen. And live honorably before the Lord and before people, because we are representing him in this world. We are ambassadors, and an ambassador does not have his own agenda, but he goes with the agenda of the one who sent him. So our agenda is to make Christ known, amen, and to reveal him. God wants to work through us. So it says in Ephesians 5:11, in the New Living Translation, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. That is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. When we come to the Lord, we are supposed to be giving God the entire offering. In other words, I am no longer my own. I have given my life completely to Christ, and that means I'm to sever all ties to my old way of life. I have to take responsibility now over this vessel. And I do that by the power that God supplies through his Holy Spirit. Because, again, apart from him, we can do nothing. So we must rely now upon the power of God, amen, to discipline ourselves and to live righteously in this world. When you're born again, you become a citizen of heaven. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen generation. By the way, these are the titles that were also given to Israel, ancient Israel, amen. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, Jesus prayed to the Father prior to his departure in John 17:15, and he said, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So God hasn't called us to be a separatist and to live in some monastery on a mountain somewhere, completely isolated from people. Amen. It's kind of hard to be salt and light if we're isolating ourselves from people. Amen. But we do need to guard against relationships and being yoked together with people who in some way may drag us away from the Lord. Remember, it's the tug of war rope. You know, if you can pull that person to the Lord, hang on to the relationship. Amen. If they're dragging you away from the Lord, let it go. It's not worth it. So when we come to the Lord, we are to sever all these ties to our old mindset, our sinful habits, even worldly lifestyles, and anything that would prevent us from fully following Jesus. So we're born again, we become a new creation. And my responsibility now is to keep myself pure, amen, in this world, so that I will continue to be a vessel that God can use. God wants a holy vessel, amen. He wants a sanctified vessel. Sanctified means set apart for him. To be pure, right? God is holy. So he expects us to be living holy before him, especially before the watching world. We need to be different, aren't we? We're not better than the world, the people of the world, but we're different. We're new creations. Amen. So we have to remember that it was by the mercy of God that we were saved, lest we become prideful and begin to compare ourselves to people. I know I hate the things that are going on, things that we're witnessing, the things that we're watching. Amen. But if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would we be today? If we abide or continue in the Lord, we'll remain in him who is holy. So we remain in holiness. And without his grace, we cannot be holy and we cannot live holy. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. Amen. It's of God. It's the gift of God. And not of works, lest anyone should boast. But we are saved for good works, that God has, what, preordained, that we should walk in them. So the blood of the Lord cleanses us and qualifies us so we can now come boldly to the throne of our Father. Because that's where we're going to find the mercy and we're going to find the grace, the ability, amen? We need to be victorious in this life's journey. Now, Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians 2:12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. Well, interesting why he said that. But now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing. I think now would be a good time for an altar call. Verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. Guys, we cannot be a light if we're abiding in the darkness, if we're compromising with the darkness. The reason why many people do not have victory, many Christians do not have victory in their life, is because of compromise. The enemy just wants to have his foot in the door. Just give me a little space here, a little compromise. And that's how he establishes his stronghold. So a little compromise eventually becomes a place where now he has a place of security he can hang out in your life. Why? Because you've been sympathetic towards sin. Because you've disobeyed God and you've obeyed his voice instead. And now you've given him permission to work out his dirty deeds in your life. Amen. And rob you of your joy. Amen. Of your peace. He's a thief. Everything he does is destructive. Why would we listen to someone who hates us so much? But he said that you, verse 15, may become what? Blameless and harmless. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights. To be blameless means that no charge can be sustained against you. They can't accuse you of anything because you're innocent of any blame. To be harmless means to be sincere and without deceit. To be real, be authentic, amen? So we're to be without fault in the midst of this crooked and perverse world that we live in. We are called to be light bearers. We bear the light of Christ. And we cannot create any light, but we can reflect the glory of the Lord in such a way that others see Jesus in us. Amen? So we don't create the light. Some people think they do. But the light is Christ in us. Amen. And as we yield to the Lord, as we submit ourselves to God, then we can be light and we can be effective. Why? Because what people need is Jesus. They don't need us, guys. God uses us and allows us to partner with him in this, but what they need is Jesus. And so we want to present Christ to people, amen, who is the only one that can save, the only one that can truly transform hearts and minds and lives, amen. That's why sometimes even good teaching is not going to make a difference if it's not teaching that's directed by the Holy Spirit. You know, we're supposed to build according to the pattern that God has established, not our own patterns, not our own ways. We should be seeking the Lord for direction and how to build and how to teach and what to teach. You need to be praying and saying, Lord, give me the ability to speak the language of the people I'm addressing. Give me wisdom, Lord. I can't do this without you. Amen. But God will give his grace to the humble. Amen. There's only one professional, amen, and that's the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we've become professional clergy. You know what? This is not about the clergy. Amen. It's about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. He always exalts Jesus. He doesn't exalt the vessel. Hallelujah. And if we will remember that, God can continue to use us. We are to live a life that reflects Jesus as we abide in him. Now, Paul admonished the Corinthian church to be holy, and he was quoting actually from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus. In 2 Corinthians 6:16, he said, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." In verse 17, "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean." Now, this is New Testament quoting from the Old Testament, right? "Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." And of course, this was referring to the earthly tabernacle. In Exodus 29:43, it says there, "I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified," or set apart, "from my glory." Remember, it took the blood and the oil to sanctify the temple. Amen. Everything had to be sanctified by the blood, amen, of the sacrifice and the oil. We today are sanctified by the blood of Christ, amen, and the Holy Spirit, the oil. All right? Because today we are God's building. We are his temple, temple of the Holy Spirit. All right. So he was referring to the earthly tabernacle, but saying, guys, you today are this tabernacle. And he said, "I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests." Now think about this, guys. You and I, amen, are priests of the Lord. Aaron is representative of who? Jesus, right? That's right. And you and I, as sons of God, amen, through the new birth, we also represent our Father's interests as we're under the headship of our great high priest, Jesus, amen. So he said, "I want to consecrate Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God and brought them up out of the land of Egypt that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." All right. So today, through the new birth, we have become the tabernacle of God, tabernacle of the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 2:1, it says, "My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin." I know we're in a day and age where people don't want to talk about sin. There's like this new gospel going around. We don't talk about sin. We just talk about Jesus. Well, guys, you first need to understand that you can't even know Jesus until you realize that you're lost. Amen. You have to first be aware that you're sinful. Amen. That you've fallen short of God's glory, that you cannot save yourself. And then you can look to the only one who can save you. Amen. And that is Jesus. So this idea of that we don't talk about sin, well, the New Testament is full of examples of where, you know, the apostles were talking to us and say, listen, keep yourself unspotted from this world. In other words, discipline yourself. Rely upon the Holy Spirit to give you the ability to discipline yourself and do what is right before your God, because you represent Him in this world. Amen? And so as He is holy, we are to be a separate holy people under God. Amen? When people look at your life, they should not be able to accuse you of anything. You should be blameless before Him. Amen? And before the watching world. Hallelujah. And when we mess up, praise God, we have an advocate, don't we? With the Father. Because if we read on here, it says, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins. And not only our sins, but for the sins of all the world. We can be sure that we know him if we, what? Obey his commandments. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar. It is not living in the truth. What was the commandment that Jesus gave his disciples? I give you a new commandment that you love one another. In love, amen, all the commandments are summed up in this, love your neighbor as yourself. So the commandments are summed up, amen, in agape, in God who is love. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness for us, amen, and he declares us righteousness, amen, in him because of his blood, amen, that atones and covers us, amen. But in this world, as representatives of him, we must keep ourselves undefiled, amen, because we do not want to bring reproach or dishonor to the name of our Lord who has called us, amen, to himself to represent him. Any ambassador that no longer represents the one that sent him would be recalled. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. They do what? Live their lives as Jesus did. Matthew 7:14, Jesus said, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are what? Few who find it. So the question today is, how do I remain free from sin and from Satan? And I'm going to give you a simple answer, and then I'm going to develop it a little bit more. And that is by faith in Christ alone. How do I remain free from sin and from Satan? And that's by faith in Jesus alone. Amen? Because he's the one that declares us and makes us righteous. Okay? And he's the one that provides the grace for us to live a holy life in this world. Why? Because God equips us with his Spirit and he gives us the ability to control ourselves. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So God expects his children, amen, to rely upon his grace on a daily basis to discipline themselves so that they live in this world in such a manner that we would in no way bring reproach on our Lord. Instead, we will bring honor to him. We will bring glory to him. People will look at your life and say, there's something different about you. God wants us to stay strong, because you're either going to be alive to sin or alive to God. And you can't be alive to sin and alive to God at the same time. You're either going to be alive to God and dead to sin, or alive to sin and dead to God. When you're born again, you come alive in God. And now you can live by faith in the Son of God. You can rely upon the grace that God gives you to discipline yourself, amen, and live a life that is honorable, that will bring glory to God. Am I speaking the truth today? Okay, I'll keep going then. God wants us to stay strong. That's why we're instructed to be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6, amen, and in the power of His might. And God gives us access to Him 24/7 so that everything that we have need of is available to us to be the people we're supposed to be and to do the things He's called us to do. How many know that resisting temptation is not enough by itself? How many know you can constantly live your life in the defensive mode and trying not to do this and not to do that? And then find yourself in a place where all you're doing is focusing on what you can't do or where you're failing and falling short. As a matter of fact, the enemy wants to get us into legalism. I want to talk about that a little bit. So that you get into this place of control and to where you're trying to now prove yourself by yourself. And we can only do good for so long. And as soon as we mess up, because we don't have the strength to live right anyways, apart from Him, right? Then the enemy comes and he points the finger of accusation and he condemns you. Ha, look what they did. The accuser of the brethren. Am I right? So when we live in a place where I am trying to save myself by myself, then I am constantly being defeated because I don't have the ability to live right apart from Him. So when you're doing well, you're doing good. When you do good, I am good. And when you do bad, oh, now I'm bad. Has anybody been in that prison before? That's the prison of law, of commandments. Amen? To where we in our own strength try to live right before God. But what Jesus did is He fulfilled all the righteous requirements of that law. Amen? And He took them away, nailed it to His cross. All those things that we had done. Amen? He took it away. He won't hold it against you anymore. Praise God, where sin is forgiven, it's no longer held against you. And then He gives you His Spirit. He sends the Spirit of His dear Son into your heart. Amen? Crying out, Abba, Father. So now we call on our Father. And we rely upon our Father for the grace to live the life we're supposed to live in this world. Not in our strength alone. But by the strength of the Lord, we will overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And only by the grace of God do we overcome. If you try to live under law and under grace simultaneously, you'll be double-minded and unstable in all your ways. You need to live positive in grace, looking forward, amen, and forgetting those things which are behind. I don't know how many times I run into so many folks that struggle in their walk because they're constantly dwelling on and thinking about their past. And I'm not opposed to all inner healing. I think some of it, though, is not biblical. Okay. Be careful about getting into stuff that somebody had a revelation about if it's not supported by Jesus and the apostles. If they didn't do it. If they didn't practice it. I hear Paul say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I'm not living under a curse, I'm living under the blessing and the favor of God. But if I look back to that and I believe in that, then I'll give the enemy permission, amen, to deceive me into thinking that somehow I'm still under the curse. And if what you believe is what you're going to receive. I believe I'm free in Christ Jesus, amen. I'm no longer under the curse. I've been set free. And the Lord's not holding my past against me. What I need to do is forget those things which are behind and press forward. Amen? The high call of God in Christ Jesus. He's calling me upward. Amen? He's called me out of Egypt. I've got to quit looking back. Oh, remember the leeks in the land. Remember the good stuff we used to eat, the flesh pots. Oh, maybe if we could just go back and have a little sample of that. That's exactly what the devil wants to do. Amen? He wants to rob you of what God has, which is superior to what you think you had there. So he deceives our minds with these lies, these tactics. And the only thing he can really do, guys, is deceive, because he does not have power over the one that's within you. If you're a child of God, he is greater in you than he that's in the world. Amen. But if you believe the lie, you'll give him permission to work in your life. So we forget those things which are behind. Oh, I have all kinds of things I could go back and sorrow over and say, oh, well, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I hadn't done that. Are you hearing me, somebody? And God's saying, well, forget about that. I've taken care of it. The blood has covered that. Amen. Your sins are forgiven. How many? Your past is redeemed and your future is secure. Keep your eyes on me. We're doing something. We're doing life together. Amen. We're in this time right now of transition between earth and heaven. Amen. God's getting a bride ready. He's getting it prepared. He's teaching us how to listen to his word. How to listen to his voice. How to navigate by his spirit. Amen. And he's preparing us for the promise that he has. He wants us to be strong in him. Now, if we're just focusing again on resisting temptation, then we're going to be in this like gerbil wheel of always trying to do better and in our own strength. Amen. We don't focus on those things. We focus, okay, on the positive. And the positive, hear me today, is the pursuit of God. The pursuit of the person of Jesus. Amen. In other words, I don't have to focus on all that stuff and all that drama and all the things of the past, amen, and all the failures and all the mistakes. Everybody here has those, right? Okay, I'm in good company. But praise God, under the blood, amen, they're no longer held against us, amen. And so we should not allow the enemy to continue to try to bring up the past and put it before us again, hoping that we'll take a hold of it again, amen, and get right back into the same funk that we're in before. God says, forgetting those things which are behind. So we need to be positive in pursuing the Lord himself. Because no flesh can glory in his presence. You won't have a problem with your flesh if you seek the Lord. If you draw near to him, you won't have a problem with your flesh. The reason we have problem with that flesh or that sin nature is because we allow ourselves to become spiritually weak by not disciplining ourselves to pray, to seek the Lord, to worship him, amen, to be in his word, to be in fellowship and the things that God has called us to in this world, amen, to serve him. God wants us free so we can serve him. The title of the message today is Free to Serve. We're free for what reason? So we can serve the Lord. Free from a guilty conscience. Free from the power of sin. Free from the power of Satan. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, we're not free from temptation. But we are free from the power of sin. So here it is, Romans 6:11. Likewise, you also do what? Reckon, which means consider or conclude yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Come to the conclusion that I am dead to sin. Sin is no longer my master. I don't have to obey sin anymore because I'm under new ownership. I'm now the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am his child and his grace, amen, is sufficient for me. Amen. He has broke the power of sin and Satan in my life. I'm a free man today and all I need to do is by faith enforce what he's already accomplished on my behalf. You enforce what's already true. Don't receive that lie. Don't go back. Amen. Don't believe that somehow that sin or that habit or that addiction is greater than the God that's in you. The Holy Spirit, that is. The enemy wants to magnify the lie. So you'll start putting your faith in the lie rather than in the Word of God. He tries to make himself look bigger than he actually is. Come on, somebody. So if we start believing that he's somehow greater than the God in us, then we will start to yield to him, because you will serve what you fear. If you fear your sin, you will serve sin. If you don't believe that God has destroyed the power of sin in your life, then you'll continue to live like a sinner. In other words, you're not living in your new creation and your new character in Christ. Hallelujah. Therefore, verse 12. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. He's saying, don't allow it. You don't have to. You're free from it, so don't allow it. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. But here's the positive. What do? Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Verse 14, I love this. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you. So he said, don't allow it to have dominion over you. When you're tempted, you call on the Lord. Amen. Don't look at the sin. Look at Jesus. Look what he did for you. Look at the cross. Remember, it is by his blood that we have been set free. We have been liberated from bondage in Egypt. And God wants us to walk in that freedom. What does grace mean? Grace means freedom to serve. Freedom to serve the Lord. Not freedom to serve, to sin against him. Titus 2:11 says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. What does the grace of God teach us? That we're to live what? Righteously, soberly, and godly in this present age. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious, here's the positive, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what? Jesus is coming for those who are looking for him. Those who are looking for him are those who are living for him. Those who are anticipating the return of the bridegroom are keeping themselves pure for him. When we take the communion, we're saying, Lord, I'll have no other lovers, no other gods before you. I forsake all others. It's between you and me. Everything you have is mine. Everything I have is yours. I've been purchased with the blood of Christ. I am no longer my own. Amen. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for me. His grace is sufficient for me. Yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't put any confidence in my flesh or my willpower or my ability to live holy. I fully lean on Jesus, on his blood, his righteousness, his grace, his strength, amen, to sustain me and to keep me. Because that's the only way we're going to overcome this world. It's by faith in Christ alone. I want to say this. Yesterday's failures should never stop you from reaching your destiny in Christ. Why is that? Because you're in Christ now, and sin is no longer your master. You're under new ownership. And again, that word reckon means conclude or consider or conclude yourselves indeed dead to sin. All right. Because if we believe that our sin is greater than God's grace, we will continue to serve sin and disbelief. If you believe that your sin is greater than God's grace, you will continue to live like a sinner, even though positionally you may have been liberated by Christ and the blood is availed for you, but it's what you believe will determine what you receive. That's why Romans 12 says we must renew our minds, amen? We must know what God says now, what the truth is now, amen? Because I grew up as a slave and all I've known is slavery to sin, but God says you've been set free. I've been set free. Yes, you've been set free. I can walk free. Yes, you can walk walk free. Yes, I'm no longer bound by that. You're no longer bound by that. I've taken care of that. You mean I can be free from this addiction? Yes, I've already taken care of that addiction. What you believe will determine what you receive, and what you receive will determine how you live your life, whether we honor the Lord or not. So don't let sin reign. Don't let it have its place anymore. Don't listen to the devil. He tells lies, as someone once said. We are instructed by Jesus to seek the kingdom of God above everything else. So what we need to do, guys, I'm going to finish with this, is we need to be intentionally presenting ourselves to God. That's how you overcome. Be intentional about each day presenting yourself back to God, abiding in Him, walking with Him, calling on Him, worshiping Him, amen, in spirit. Hallelujah. And the grace of God will enable you to live victory, a victorious life in this world. Why? Because it's not of me. I'm going to give you an example. Joe quits drinking for a season. He celebrates his success. However, Joe fails to present himself back to God, and eventually Joe falls back into bondage to sin. So it's not enough just to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'll quit doing this, I'll quit doing that. Many people do that. I've done that in my past. Amen. I've been on that gerbil wheel, just going around in circles, never really getting free, because I would be repentant at times. At least I would be remorseful. Amen. And I come to God and say, God, I'm sorry about that, you know. But what I didn't know is that I had to now give myself back to God. I had to present myself back to God, and I had to live positively, amen, for the will of God in a relationship with the Lord. Amen. So instead of just being sorry for the sin, amen, I need to say, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. He forgives me, but now I present my body to Him. I give myself back to Him, amen, to live the rest of my life for Him. In the positive. That's it. So we have been set free. If you're a child of God today, conclude that I am no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer bound by sin. Are you hearing me? It's what you believe. Well, I tried the Christian thing. It didn't work for me. No, you tried in your strength to live a life that was impossible for you to live because it required God's ability. But if we would give ourselves to God, present ourselves, our bodies to Him as living sacrifices. Yeah. Live positively. Lord, I submit myself as your servant, also as a son, to live the rest of my life for your service. What can I do for you now? You did so much for me. What can I now do for you? How can I love you back the rest of my life? And as you live positively for the will of God, knowing that you have been set free from the power of sin, so you can now serve Him. When you present yourself to Him and are deliberate about living for Jesus, amen, then you will walk in that freedom consistently. Hallelujah. You've been set free to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, if you're here today, it doesn't matter what the problem is, what the issue was. God wants you to be free. If you're sick, God wants you to be healed. If you're bound by anything, God wants you to be liberated from that. The power of God is here to heal and to deliver every captive. There's nothing that God cannot do. We simply need to come to Him in faith and believe. So if you need prayer for anything, in just a moment we're going to dismiss, and I'd like you to come, and we want to pray and believe. God's been doing some amazing things, amen, in our midst, because He's here. God wants you to be free indeed. Hallelujah. If you need to commit your life to Jesus, come. Give your life to Jesus. Today is the day of salvation. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you so much for everything. For your word, Lord, for your truth. Lord, you said we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Lord, we know your truth will also sustain us, Lord, and keep us free, Lord. That, Lord, we will continue to walk in the liberty of sons and daughters, Father, And know, Lord God, that you've delivered us out, Lord, of bondage and brought us into the glorious liberty of the sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, for the cross, for the blood that avails for us, that our sins are forgiven because of that blood. Lord, we come to you. And Lord Jesus, we ask you, if there's any sin in our lives, Lord, anything that's in me that's not right, God, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to cleanse me. Would you just take a moment right now and ask the Lord if there's anything in me, Lord, that's not right between us? I'm asking you, Lord, to point it out. I want to renounce it right now. I want to confess it. And Lord, I want to ask you right now to forgive me and to cleanse me from that, Lord God, because I don't want it on me anymore. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. You paid in full, Lord, for every sin I've ever committed, Lord. And I'm asking you right now, Lord, to cleanse me. And Lord, even as you would cleanse the temple, Lord, I pray now that you would possess me by your Holy Spirit. So then I invite you, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and fill my heart once again. In Jesus' name.